welcome to our brand new podcast called Character Reveal. We finally settled on a name. I think we're going to just have a great time with this. So those of you who don't know, this is me. I'm Dom, aka Brother Dom on Twitter, and I'm joined with my co-host. You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Stephanie. I'm on Tumblr as The Snow Queer, and I write for Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog as Lady Psyka.
So yeah, that's our essential stats. So this whole thing, we're going to be bringing you some fantastic guests, telling you who they are, what they're all about, getting to know them on a little bit more personal level, skipping all the obvious stuff if we can. And today we are joined by, I'd say a better friend. You want to introduce yourself, better friend?
Hi, y'all. This is Tanya, also known as Cypher Tier, mostly everywhere on the internet. You may also know me from my work as I Need Diverse Games or I Need DIVGMS if you follow on Twitter. And I stream, I do a lot of things. So basically, if you have anything to do with gaming and diversity, hopefully we have cross paths or will do so soon.
Awesome. So that's a lofty goal to start. I don't know if all of our listeners may have heard of you before, but I certainly have. And you've been sort of, I don't want to say a guide to my adventures in gaming, that sort of thing, but I kind of want to say you've been a guide. You know, anytime I see some sort of new diversity thing popping up, or anytime people are asking for opinions, it does seem to come towards you as far as, hey, you better ask Tanya what she's thinking. So lofty shoes to fill today.
Oh god.
So general things, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Like I said before, we actually hit the record button. It is actually snowing here in Chicago on 2nd of April. So
that's horrifying. That's just horrifying.
I know. I was just like, nature, did we miss the memo? What is this white stuff in the spring? This is not okay.
See, I'm not a fan of the snow in April. We get calls for snow over here in Pittsburgh. We haven't seen it yet. Luckily, we're hanging out at a nice 55, I think.
I thought it was outside. Supposed to snow tomorrow.
I hope that was an April Fool's joke. And we are recording on the 2nd of April, so day after April Fool's. Did I see any fun shenanigans yesterday?
No, because I actually really, really hate April Fool's Day.
Oh no.
But BrainBot did fool me.
Oh, what's that?
It's actually the bot I use for streaming, so to like, you know, kind of manage, you know, alerts, things like that. But they did a thing saying they were coming out with a sentient bot. And I'm like, okay, well, we have VR. This isn't too far of a leap. It didn't seem like it would be a prank.
Right. It seems completely possible.
Right. And I was like, you no good so-and-sos. That's too close to the truth to really be funny. But actually, I've never been a big prank person, so I'm not really on the April Fool's train.
Yeah, I think it's hard to find a prank that like toes the line between it's funny for everyone involved and it's not hurtful to anyone involved.
Right.
See, I like, my favorite April Fool's jokes are the ones that are clearly April Fool's jokes, and they're if anything, they're annoying, but they're mostly just kind of goofs. Hamburger Helper released a mixtape yesterday. Did you all see that?
I did not see that.
Hamburger Helper, like okay.
Yeah, like a legit hip-hop, like trap beats kind of mixtape with, I don't know the rappers, but they were apparently people who didn't just do it for that thing, and it's some of the beats actually go kind of hard on it, you know. The one song, I think it's called Feed the Streets, if you heard it in a club and weren't paying attention, you wouldn't know you were listening to a Hamburger Helper mixtape.
Oh my god.
So it's that's the kind of pranks that I like. It's not even really a prank, it's just, hey, look at this goofy thing we did, and everyone laughs and saves that mixtape for the next day.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was my experience yesterday, other than work. So I'd say I came out pretty unscathed. So Tanya, you said you're from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So I've heard a lot of other casters, different podcasts, different games critics, developers, and that kind of thing are from Chicago. Is there kind of a gaming scene out there?
There is. There's more studios here. And I'm blanking on the name of one of the bigger studios, but there's also the We Are Chicago game crew. There's Prometheus Studios. I'm sorry, Phosphor Studios. Prometheus is that movie.
Oh yes. That movie's kind of alien to me.
Hey.
That's a good one.
And I'm just getting started.
Oh, here we go. You are full of puns, aren't you?
That's my favorite thing.
He's the punniest.
If I could do a podcast about puns instead of people, well, I probably would have, but I would have given it a shot at least.
Okay, then there are people on Twitch you need to follow because that is all they do is puns all day long.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know the dad joke slash pun joke slash office lady joke humor was so prolific.
Oh my God. Half the people in my stream, I think that's why they come to the stream, to make puns.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, I've got to get there then.
Actually, Mike Laidlaw, the creative director at BioWare for the Dragon Age franchise, he streams. And between, like, one of the people who mods his stream and two of the regulars, like, there's never a lack of punnery in the stream.
That's my favorite thing. That makes me want to stream just so I can make puns. Just against, like, a gaming backdrop where it's clear that I'm not playing or that anyone's playing. You just came for the pun.
Yeah.
So you mentioned BioWare and the Dragon Age. So before I started following you on Twitter, whenever that was, I can't remember, I feel like I'd see retweets from things about Dragon Age whenever those were coming out. So that seems to be a franchise you're really involved in.
I'm like one of the biggest BioWare Dragon Age nerds there ever were. When Inquisition came out, I actually took a week off work.
Wow. That's solid.
Yeah, so now I actually have it across PC, Xbox One, and PS4. And I'm not going to embarrass myself with how many playthroughs I've gotten. But yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask the dirty question?
Sure.
Do you know how many hours you've put into Inquisition?
Across all three systems, I would say at least 1,000, maybe bordering on 1,500, because I had several playthroughs and I lost some when I upgraded my PS4 hard drive. So there are some that are lost to the ages, but they were done.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, my very first playthrough topped 100 hours. So we're probably close to, like, between 1,000 and 1,500 total. That's just for solid. Inquisition.
That's commitment. I That's dedication. That. Steph, do you happen to know how many hours you've put into, let's pull out a franchise. Let's say the Harry Potter franchise.
Hard to say because reading the book, I read the books much faster than, like, sitting down and having a marathon of the movies.
Yeah, the movies are pretty finite.
But my copy of the first book, just that particular book, I've read so many times that it's more tape than book anymore. So, if
That's
I had
fantastic.
To, I don't know if I could put an hour count on it, but
maybe that's for the best.
Yeah.
So, Tanya, any games are you playing right now?
I actually picked up Tom Clancy's The Division.
How do you like it?
So far, I like it a lot. I played the beta and really, really loved it. I was actually going to trade in Destiny and then couldn't.
Ooh, contention.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I was at GDC and I wasn't talking shit about Destiny, but I wasn't, like, real complimentary either. And there was actually one of the Bungie devs in the group I was in. So I'm like, I was like, I don't hate you. I don't hate Destiny, but there's nothing compelling me to log in every day to Destiny.
The funny thing about that is the people who I know log in every day tell me that there's nothing compelling them to log in every day. So I don't think you're alone in that. No one seems to know why they play that game.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe Destiny 2 will ramp it up. I mean, Taken King seems to really help the franchise. I'm hoping whatever they're doing will just increase.
Yeah.
What else?
So it seems like they really opened the gates for bringing more of some of that MMO flavor to other things other than WoW's the King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's try to bring some other people into it, even if they don't have a perfect game.
Yeah.
Seems like they opened the way for some more games.
Yeah, and I actually, like, kind of flipped through some of my PS4 titles, like all the ones you get for free with PS Plus, and tried to play some of them.
Anything interesting?
I tried Galaxy. It reminded me of R-Type. It was a little hard to control. I'm still feeling my way with it. And I did some Street Fighter V yesterday, actually.
How do you like that?
I like it. I wish the game was more complete. That they hadn't
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that they hadn't rushed it out for competitive players, basically.
I get why they did that.
I mean, I get it. That doesn't mean I like it, because, like, I'm old school Street Fighter. Like, I grew up, you know, in the arcade with Street Fighter. So
you actually want your experience to be a full experience.
Right. You know, like, there's no arcade mode. I can't, like, if somebody was here, I could co-op with them. But that means they'd have to want to play Street Fighter as well. And the online matchmaking is better now that you can have more than two people in a lounge.
Oh, that's smart.
But it also... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. So for the people who don't know or aren't as into games, what exactly was the state of Street Fighter V when it was released? If you just want to run down that pretty quickly.
So it was the core competitive game. There was no stores. You couldn't buy, like, costumes or anything. The matchmaking component was really bad. You could create a battle lounge, so that way you could have, like, either private or an open match, do competitive or I'm sorry, casual or for ranking. But, you know, matching was terrible. They had to take the servers down the same day of release for maintenance. Because I was just like, for real? Or, like, you knew this game was coming, and since you really focused it on online matchmaking, this is one thing that should be working.
That's the one thing needs to work.
Yeah, and it's not a complete game. Like, they've added the store. You finally can buy more costumes. There's still no arcade mode. And the character they gave away, quote-unquote, for free is actually not free. You still have to buy him, but I think there's a discount. Alex?
Oh, nice. I love Capcom. They're a great company right now.
Yeah, so they're basically going to nickel and dime you, because you earn what's called fight money if you play competitive matches.
I appreciate that they didn't even try to be more creative than that. It's just fight money.
Right. So, you know, like, I've bought a couple costumes. But here's the thing. All this talk about characters, there are no characters to buy right now. So, like, the six characters you would get if you had a season pass, I can't even go in and buy them, even if I've got enough fight money.
They're just not there.
No, if you start up your PS4 or PC, because that's one thing. You can cross-play.
That's okay. That's nice.
And it's like all the other missing things, but you got crossplay. All right, then. I'll just roll with it.
It's weird that they put, like, more complicated features in than actually just making a game.
Right. I mean, I know they did it for the competitive circuit, but it's like not everyone's playing this competitively. So you're, to me, catering to that small, very niche, maybe not as small as I know. Maybe I don't know how small the competitive market is.
Well, just from looking at it, even the people who are in that community are like, this was a bad idea.
Right.
You should have just waited.
Right.
Okay.
So, I'm annoyed that you got an incomplete game at launch, but, you know, I still bought it.
I'm glad they don't do that with movies or anything. That would be a travesty. Or books or any other medium. Hey, the last chapter of this book, it's just not here. We'll get it to you when we feel like it.
Right.
That was the problem with Breaking Dawn. That's why the fourth book is so much longer and worse, even compared to the three original Twilight books. Is they were like, holy shit, we have to get this to press. We have to get this to press. They didn't let a single editor, like, red pen any of it. It's just complete manuscript nonsense.
Wait. So let me ask. They knew they had a deadline for a book coming, and they said, we didn't plan this, so they just hurried up and wrote something?
Well, they were like, we can't send this back for rewrites, no matter how ridiculous it is.
Well, it's also the fact that it's the Twilight books.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting a high level of quality from it to begin with. But that one, it took me 7 months to read that.
That's...
Because I had to keep putting it down. It was so terrible.
Wow.
You put yourself through some real pain to get through books. I respect that.
It was purely from, like, a critical point of view, where I was like, if I want to bitch about this book to people, I should know exactly what happens in it so I can bitch more accurately.
That puts you above, I'd say, 60% of the internet, then.
Yeah. Because I just pretended it didn't exist after a certain point. I was like, no, I can read and write better fanfic than this? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, someone also thought that, but they were wrong, and that's how we got, what, 50 Shades series?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, fanfic is transformative. Sometimes it's transforming the original work
into more nonsense.
That's all fine and good. Well, speaking of complaining about things that you haven't experienced yet, this week was ablaze with people arguing about butts, boobs, Batman, and Superman. And do you care to comment on any of that stuff, Tanya?
So the butt thing in Overwatch is what I'm guessing you're talking about.
I hope that's the only one.
Okay.
Because I've been on games Twitter for long enough to know that that might not be the only thing.
I just thought it was another example of gamer entitlement because, you know, Blizzard is a giant corporation.
Right.
They
right.
are not just going to go, oh, this one person complained, so we better fix it. You know,
right.
they knew from a studio perspective, from what they're planning to do, this was a good decision, and this is why it's still in beta. It's not
right.
like the game was released and they caved to overwhelming consumer concern or complaints. This was in the beta, which is the point of beta testing for those people
exactly.
who don't know what that means. I wish it had been more closed, but again, we know people don't respect NDAs anymore because...
It's the internet.
It's the internet. And, you know, even though the game is still in closed beta, they encourage you to stream it even if it was in closed beta. So it's not like there were a lot of secrets to be had, like when people used to get in beta tests and...
Exactly.
You couldn't even say you were in the beta, so you and your buddy could be playing side by side and never know.
Right. Yeah, so to give some background to the listeners who might not be involved, there's a new first-person shooter from Blizzard, the same people who make World of Warcraft and their ilk. And they have a character called Tracer, who's this cute little British girl, I believe. And as soon as her artwork was released, the internet and Tumblr did the thing that they always do when you release a cute female character. And they made the Rule 34 instantly, which is a shame. But this character wears, I think, tight clothing or something like that, and had a wind pose where, like, back to the camera, during kind of, like, essentially the Black Widow pose from the Avengers trailer poster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some nonsense pose. And so you could see butts. And that was, I guess, the point. And they said, you know what, maybe that's not the best way to represent this character. And people got mad. Because the internet.
Yeah.
And that was a controversy that didn't need to be one. It seemed like it kind of went burned in and out almost as fast as it started.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad Blizzard took the stance. And, you know, there are going to be people that are going to be mad about stupid things, ridiculous, you know, that are ridiculous. And one thing that bothers me about, you know, quote-unquote conversation we try to have on the internet is that there is no nuance. There is no sense of, this is a thing I do not like. Here's why I don't like it. Instead is, I don't like this thing. Anyone who does like it is a terrible, hateful, horrible person and should be shamed and condemned. And there's, you go from 0 to 100.
Yeah, where's the 50? Yeah, where's the 60 and the 40?
Like, there is none. It's 0 and 100, and there's nothing in between, it seems like. And that's why a lot of discourse, I think, is just becomes such garbage so quickly.
So do you think it's more of a fallacious argument on people's behalf, or do you think they just don't care to have the nuance? You know what I mean?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think there are some people that, no matter what their opinion is, what their stance is, that is their stance. They're going to stick to it. You could, you know, give them science and facts and studies, and they just don't care. And then there are people who will actually listen. Actually, you had an interesting experience with that on Tumblr, of all places, because, as we know, Tumblr can be a trash fire. I don't know if either of you actually follow me on Tumblr, but...
I'm not sure. I don't think just yet, but I'll have to get on that.
Yeah, we can change that.
Okay. So Dragon Age fandom on Tumblr is always an interesting thing. But there's, you know, trying to have any discussions about race or nuance is tricky. And one thing that stuck with me is someone who messaged me and said, you shouldn't use POC. It's offensive. And I was like, you know I'm black, right? And they were like, well, it doesn't matter. It's offensive. And they really tried to have this argument about it being exclusive. And I was like, well, it is excluding people who are not people of color. That's the whole point of using it.
Yeah, that's...
and so we went back and forth. And they actually were... One thing I like, they didn't do it on Anon, because you can have anonymous messaging on Tumblr. But they actually listened to me and came back later and said, you know what, you're absolutely right. I basically got out of my lane, this was not an argument for me to have. Thank you for pointing it out.
Wow, that's pretty much me. Have to just set the keyboard down and walk away. It's not going any more uphill than that.
Right, like, I'm glad you listened to me.
And that's, I think a lot of the internet stuff is just about people would listen. And just consider, you know what, maybe the person I'm talking to isn't wrong. I mean, they might be wrong, but just consider that they might not be, and your conversation can go so much further.
Yeah, because I think once people have it in their head that they are right and everyone else is wrong, there is no conversation to have at that point. Just give up.
Yeah, I kind of go in just hoping I'm right.
Yeah.
And so much of the internet is, it's hard to have that dialogue just because of the functionality of, like, a website. Like, Tumblr only just maybe gave us replies back, and, like, there's, like, the messaging system is still kind of shoddy, so, like, having that conversation is difficult just from a, like, logistical standpoint sometimes, too.
Yeah, and there's no way to really lock down your Tumblr unless you do the whole hide it from everyone, but then no one can really communicate with you, but, you know, for safety reasons, I know people have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I really miss LiveJournal, which I'm sure people might be going, what's that LiveJournal thing?
I still have a LiveJournal.
I still have mine. You know, it's there, but I hardly touch it. And
yeah,
I wish there was...
it.
Yeah, but, like, it's there. It was part of my life for 13 years. I'm not getting rid of it. But...
Hardly's more than none, so I feel like you still might use it.
Yeah.
Any LiveJournal exclusives we might hear from?
Sure.
Steph, I think you have a decent relationship with LiveJournal, if I recall. Am I misremembering that? Or?
I mean, that was my first fandom platform, was LiveJournal. I started my LiveJournal in sixth grade. My best friend made it for me, actually. She was like, you're getting this.
Friendship.
Yeah, friendship. But it was like my primary interaction with, at the time, Harry Potter fandom. And it still somewhat is. It used it for a while before the Archive of Our Own existed. It was the kind of the place to find good Harry Potter fanfiction. So, I would say it has its own torrid history, though. Like, there was a lot of ownership changes of the company, like, over the time it existed. And at one point, they deleted, like, a trillion blogs because some of them had Harry Potter fanfic or fan art on them that was depicting underage characters because they were in school, and the line between this is fan art of an imaginary character and this is child pornography, there was no, like,
I could see how that line blurry very fast.
Quickly. Yeah,
yeah.
And look up Strike Through on fan lore if you want to know about that nonsense.
Ooh.
But
Tanya, what did you use LiveJournal?
I actually started it when I did my study abroad in Japan because I wanted a place to kind of, you know, chronicle that year abroad.
Where did you live when you were in Japan?
I was in Osaka. I spent a year at Kansai Gaidai University.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's many moons ago, but, you know, it was my year abroad. And I didn't have a laptop. You know, this was still the era of the giant clunky CRT PCs. So I was not going to be able to take my computer with me. So we had access to computers and the internet while I was there, and I just started a LiveJournal, and it, you know, until Tumblr, it really was my main blogging platform because I could, you know, you could filter it, you could keep it friends only, you could, you know, do whatever you have a lot more accessibility to keep your content down to you.
Yeah.
And there were good communities, so.
Yeah, there's nothing like an LJ community on Tumblr where you can join, like, a group.
Yeah, people try that, and that just doesn't work out so well. So.
Well, that's how you get DashCon, so.
Ooh. I don't know how that works. Never again the ball pit times.
The sad thing is, a good ball pit would have been a good idea. I still think some cons should do it, but maybe not a baby.
No.
They're doing this thing. I heard it on the radio. There's a bar that's doing it down in California. Yeah, they're having, like, ball pit nights or something. They'll, like, fill the whole thing up to, like, knee-high. Our generation seems to like doing things that when we were five were one thing, but now we're like, let's do that, but with alcohol.
Ooh, ball pit and alcohol is not going to end well.
Yeah, that seems more dangerous than, like, a bouncy house or something.
Well, I think it's I think it's low enough that you can still like kind of shuffle your feet.
Okay.
And I'm thinking of it from my end. I wear flat shoes, but I guess if someone's wearing heels or like sandals, that'd be very bad.
Mm-hmm. You could like put a heel straight through a bouncy, like a ball.
Oh yeah.
Make a new fashion statement.
That's aesthetic. So, Tanya, mm-hmm. You feeling pretty good right now?
Yeah.
So we have some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
We like to just throw them out there, you know, it could be as long or short of an answer as you want. But it's just we already broke the ice, but let's go even deeper below the ice, okay?
Okay.
So, Steph, you want to pull one of these questions out?
Sure. If you could imagine any crossover in the entire world, any media, any video game, any TV show, any book, whatever, what two things would you cross over?
Oh, wow. It's tough because there's so many things that just popped in my head because most of my fanfic is AU. I would cross over Dragon Age and Pacific Rim or Mass Effect and Hamilton.
Ooh. Want to give us some explanation on those? Because they already sound great.
Yeah.
I just want to go a little deeper into this rabbit hole.
Well, I've seen people do fan art of like Dragon Age and Pacific Rim, but I haven't seen fic. But it's like DA2 is actually my favorite game of the series. And I'm just imagining like Hawk and their ally being draft compatible, or, you know, kind of if they were more in the Pacific Rim world and then trying to figure out like why there is no magic and things like that. Like, or, you know, incorporating things that would normally exist in Kirkwall into that time frame because it's so far in the future, you could explain technology as magic.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of Mass Effect and Hamilton, come on, Commander Shepard as Hamilton, would that not be awesome? That's just, like, amazing.
Leads a team, gets in his various adventures. Yeah, I see how that could be a thing pretty quickly.
Yeah, and Foz Meadows did a Dragon Age Hamilton crossover fic that is amazing.
Huh.
Yes, I will.
You have to give us a link to that.
I will. I will find the link as soon as we're done.
Okay. So those are some pretty good crossovers. So follow-up question, I'm going to add this to the docket. If you could pick any fictional character to be in a Jaeger, who would it be?
So like, what Ooh. Fictional character would you be drift compatible with?
I'd like to say Fenris.
Okay.
But I'm too sympathetic to mages. honestly, if it had to be drift compatible, I'd go with Morrigan from Dragon Age.
What about you, Steph? This is a new question, so we gotta answer all the new ones we get.
You stumped her.
Yeah. What about you, Dom? Is it Sonic?
I would guess, because I've not actually seen Pacific Rim properly. So I've seen them pilot the cool mechs and punch stuff and saw people have great conversations, Elba and stuff, but I said drift compatible and I said, I don't know the terms from this movie, but I'm assuming someone who's what, similar personality, you have a good mind link and all that.
Yeah. You have to be like really compatible with someone like mentally in order to be able to pilot the mech with them.
Oh yeah. It's my homeboy Sonic. Yep. He's got me.
Does Alexander Hamilton count as a fictional character if we're talking about the one from the show?
Yeah, which one are you talking about? The real guy or the show guy?
Like the show guy.
Yeah, he's a fictional character.
Okay, I'll go with Hamilton. We're both pretty nonstop.
I like it.
We both have trouble saying no to things.
Hey. It's cool though, it's cool. So we got, you want to pull another question from our little hat list?
From the hat here, let's see. If you had an X-Men mutation, but it can't be a cool mutation. It's got to be something like, it wouldn't get, you'd count as a mutant, but it wouldn't get you on the X-Men team. If you had a crappy X-Men mutation, what would it be?
Oh, God.
We're trying to think a little bit outside the box here. You know, we're not going to ask the simple, regular ones.
I know.
Just an example. Like, my crappy X-Men mutation is being confused for someone named Bethany. because I have to answer the phone at work a lot, and every time I say, hi, this is Stephanie, how can I help you? They say, hi, Bethany.
Oh my God. mine would be wake up on time no matter what.
That's a really good power, mutation. Though.
But it wouldn't get me on the X-Men.
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
Hey, if you had the right PR team, though, you could say, hey, you guys are missing all these fights with Magneto. He's going to be there. You need an alarm clock. One that's not, you know, Magneto, he's messing with all the clocks because they're made of metal. But I always wake up on time. You need me on your team.
Nice.
And you too, Dom?
You know, the ability to just eat just enough to survive and still feel full.
That's...
You know,
I need that power now.
Yeah.
I'm mostly sustained by coffee and sugar, which is probably why I never get sick, because the germs can't latch on to anything, because I'm not made of person anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so we gotta get some more in here if you're still good to go.
Yeah, we can see where this leads for a couple more.
Cool. Okay.
You pick one, Dom.
How about this one? It's a fun one. What's your favorite iteration of Batman's joke?
Ooh.
There's a lot of Jokers, and they all bring something different to the table.
I'm torn between Heath Ledger and Nicholson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because Nicholson was really good, but Heath Ledger brought some camp back to it, you know, but he was still dangerous.
Right. Like, it was still dark and gritty, but it was still campy at the same time.
Yeah, so if I have to choose, I would say Heath Ledger's.
Nice.
I was actually just watching The Dark Knight before I came upstairs to record.
See, topical.
It's topical, exactly.
Did either of you see the new Batman vs. Superman movie?
I have not yet.
Do you want to?
Not really.
I'll get around to it, but it's not high on my list of things to go see right now.
Yeah.
That was something I was thinking about when we were talking about how the argument only decides to have polarizing arguments. A lot of people that like the movie said that people don't like it because they're used to, you know, the bubblegum Marvel movies and they don't really read comic books. I was thinking, that seems kind of fake. I know a lot of people that read comic books that don't like this movie.
No, that's just a gatekeepy BS reason to justify liking it when everyone else is kind of hating on it.
Yeah, and it's fine to like something. You can like things that aren't that good. You know, I like things that aren't that good.
Exactly.
I've heard both sides of the argument, too. I've heard people, the only people who are angry with it are the people who are comic book nerds because they don't think it's true enough to X or Y comic book. And regular people, the average Joe liked it. But I've also heard the average Joe didn't like it and only comic book nerds would care.
That's how you know it's a complete BS argument. Where both sides are saying the exact opposite and they both are wrong.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. Yeah, this isn't one of our rapid fire ones, but a little bit of curiosity from my side.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough to be on your great show, Fresh Off Token, a while back. And you asked me where my screen name came.
Uh-huh.
So now I want to flip those tables around and ask you where your screen name came. Because I don't follow the same fandoms. And it might be a simple answer, but maybe it's something a little bit deeper.
It's not actually fandom related at all. I follow the Nordic pantheon as my path of faith.
Okay.
And Tyr is one of the gods of that pantheon. For those that don't know the story, toward the end of the world, the gods are trying to keep the Fenris Wolf from kicking off Ragnarok. And they decide they have to bind the Fenris Wolf, and they come to the wolf and try to trick it, of course. And the Fenris Wolf is not stupid, and it's like, well, one of you must stick your hand in my snout while you're binding me, and if you're lying to me, I'll take your hand. But because Tyr is about justice and sacrifice and doing the right thing no matter the cost, he sacrifices his hand to do so. And so I've always felt compelled by and drawn to Tyr as a deity. And so Cypher Tyr's been my screen name for a long time.
Oh, excellent. See,
very cool.
That's a great story, then. That's way better than my garbage reason for a screen name.
Mine's pretty garbage, too.
Well, you know, so yours is, are yours puns, Steph? Or are they jokes on something?
It's actually both are. The Hella Steph is a Homestuck reference.
Yeah.
Because it's there's Sweepro and Hella Jeff in Homestuck, and the Snow Queer is based on a typo from a conversation with a friend when we were talking about how potentially gay future Frozen movies could be. It wasn't intentional, but we were like talking about Frozen, and I typed out the Snow Queer instead of the Snow Queen, and I was like, man, my brain really wants the next Frozen movie to be really gay.
The first Frozen movie was a little gay, I'd say. I mean, it wasn't Steven Universe or Adventure Time gay, but it was like baby's first gayish Disney show. And I think it'll open up doors for a lot of people. So, yeah, I think, yeah, Steven Universe is coming back. That's good news. Are you a fan, Talia?
I've watched a little bit of it. I'm not like, oh my god, I have to drop everything and watch it, but I do want to see what's going on.
See, I'll drop some things for it. You know, I won't rush to get home, but once I get home, I'll rush to go, like, get to the DVR.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any shows you're watching currently?
No, because I got rid of cable, and even without a day job, I'm still super busy, so there's not a lot of TV I'm watching. I do need to catch up on Empire. The problem is it comes on the same night we record the podcast.
Empire just came back, right?
Yeah, so last Wednesday, I think, was the first episode. So I'm going to be doing a lot of catching up, like, on either Hulu or something like that, you know, the next day when it's available.
Oh, I like that we have these kind of services. So I haven't really got a chance. I feel bad. I feel like Twitter would come after me, but I have not watched Empire. What's the draw to that show?
You know, for me, it's like the shows I grew up watching, like the nighttime soaps, but it's got an all-black cast.
Okay.
You know, and it's nice to see this setup and this kind of empire building and this entrepreneurship and all this intrigue and drama with a black cast, but it's not, you know, it's not like, oh, it's so different because they're all black. It's like, this is the same stuff I grew up watching just now with an all-black cast.
Oh, nice. Okay. That sounds a lot better than people were just saying, hey, you should watch it. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. Where is it set at? Is it a New York show? Or?
I believe it's New York.
Okay, yeah, you were saying earlier you're in Chicago. Are you from that area? Or? I'm kind of jumping around. Excuse me.
That's okay. I am born and raised in Chicago.
Oh, nice. Okay, so can I ask another dirty question?
Sure.
What's up with deep dish pizza? I've listened to a couple podcasts from Chicagoans, and I've heard different things, and need to get the lowdown on that.
It's just thick crust pizza. I mean, okay, so someone may want to take my Chicago card away after they hear this podcast. Uh-oh. But I actually prefer thin crust pizza.
Cool. Aww, yeah. I feel like you're a convert. We'll take credit for that.
Well, no, it's just like, okay, deep dish pizza, even if you get a small one, I have like one slice I feel like I'm going to never eat again.
So is it just that the crust is super thick? Or
the crust is thick. There's a lot more toppings. You know, it takes longer. It's like an hour or something when you go to order one in a restaurant. And I'm like, look, I'm hungry. Just give me some pizza.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even know all about that.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thick – if you go get like a legit Chicago-style, quote-unquote – you know, deep dish pizza, it's going to take a minute to get one, whether you order it or you're like for delivery, if you're in a restaurant waiting. So
it's something you order before you actually are hungry.
Exactly.
I don't have time to plan out food. I'm from Pittsburgh. We eat our signature dish is, hey, here's some bread. There's some coleslaw and French fries on it. You want some meat? Here's some roast beef. Have fun.
Right.
That's the permani sandwich. That's I'm going to lose my Pittsburgh card too. I'm not a fan of that sandwich very much. I don't eat cheese. I don't like roast beef that much. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the regional portion of the podcast. Are there any other signature Chicago dishes?
I mean, the one thing I'll go to the mat about is a Chicago-style hot dog.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about that.
So, you know, what's the deal? Don't put ketchup on your hot dog. We're okay. You know, it's sport.
You've already lost me.
Sport peppers, like you know, sesame seed bun, sport peppers, dill spears, pepper, like pepper salt, And what else? And tomato and onion.
See, that sounds
and
like a mustard. Proper sandwich, though.
Well, it's basically a sandwich, but it's a hot dog, so...
That's actually kind of interesting. I don't know why people hate on that. I've never had it, but that sounds more interesting than, hey, here's this boiled piece of meat on a bun. Here's some ketchup. Have fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's mostly everything that we had on the table. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up? Or
just that I'm going to be at PAX East. I'm on two panels. One is about how to get into games journalism, and the other is about diversity in games, which I actually did not propose because I feel a way about PAX in general, but a friend asked me to be on panels, and they were approved, so this is my chance to check out PAX, see what it's about.
Hey, you do what you gotta do, right?
Yeah, I mean, cool people I know are gonna be there, and, you know, from what I hear, people that go consistently have you know, told me, hey, it's getting better. So I trust their opinion because they've gone. I've never gone to a PAX event. And it's smaller. It's not like the big PAX Prime that can be super crowded.
I feel like all the PAX offshoots are a little better than PAX Prime is.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's kind of escaped what... It's only PAX in name. Is that true?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess I can report back once I'm back. Okay. Well, like I said, I've never gone. And so we'll see. And then because I have no sense... The same week, I am going to PangoCon, which is in Detroit, and I'm a featured guest there. I don't yet know my schedule for PangoCon.
What's that con about?
It started off as like an open source, but now it's a general nerdery and geekery kind of convention.
Okay. Cool, good stuff. So, yeah, so if we can jump back into some things real quick. So you mentioned you're doing a diversity panel. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about diversity panels in general, whether it be gender line, sexuality,
race? I think they're required for some conventions because some cons are still not beyond the 101 level of conversation.
Okay.
However, that cannot be your only time that you have people of color on your programming.
Right.
That cannot be the only time marginalized people are speaking at your convention. And if you do have people who, you know, are, let's say, white, but LGBT or some other identity, you know, intersectionality as part of the discussion, it should be mandatory because none of us exists along one plane.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if the only brown folks I see on your programming are only doing these diversity panels, that's going to tell me you have a baseline cover your ass commitment to it rather than, hey, there are plenty of people who can talk about a variety of things, and I want them on my panels. So while I do think conventions need the conversation, it shouldn't be the same people all the time, and it shouldn't always be, you know, only brown folks, only marginalized folks having these conversations. Because people who have, you know, like worked through their privilege, worked through other things, they could be part of the conversation, but they shouldn't be the ones going, look, we had a panel on diversity. Aren't we awesome? And no, if they're the ones running the con.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So sort of a follow up to that. So say your convention or event, your general level of discourse is beyond the 101. Maybe it's the 102 or the 201.
Mm-hmm.
What's a good way to bring the topic up without just shoving a microphone in someone's face and saying, what's it like to be black in games? What's it like to be a woman in games?
Well, other than Googling, I would say see, like, look at what someone has done if you want to, like, invite them to a panel. Or just put it out there. This is going to be an advanced conversation. This is not what is diversity? What, like, why is this important? This is going to be like, we've established it's important. How do we get their conversation? Okay. Maybe even go as far as having a workshop or, you know, someone who's done this work, you know, talk about the consulting they've done, things that they've seen people do and do well and successfully. So you're not, you know, having this intro to diversity 101 type thing. Like, put it out there, put it in your panel description. This is not an intro conversation.
Gotcha.
If you don't understand what diversity is and why it's important, this is not for you. We suggest you go do some Googling first.
Right.
And then when you're ready, come to this conversation.
Sounds good. Makes sense to me. It's good to see more panels trying to involve groups. One outlet that I see they don't handle it the best way, but they try a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually the ESPN. you know, as much of a dude bro station as it tries to be, I've noticed on all their panels shows they try to at least have one woman on the panel so that they're not all male, which they don't say that much about it, but I've seen at least they have a show called Around the Horn. It's kind of like a game show sort of thing, and I've seen they've had women on there. They win and lose just as often as men do, but they try to do a good job of saying, hey, we have to at least bring some other viewpoints in here. They might end up being the same viewpoint or same idealist, but we need to just make sure that we're bringing more people in the conversation. It's kind of a shame that it seems like sports are beating games to that. So
yeah.
We'll get there. I think there's a lot more people trying to get better. So, okay. Hey, well, Tanya, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I hope you had fun.
I did. This was awesome. And I'm so glad that you all started your podcast, because I know that was something we talked about when you were on Fresh Out of Token. So I'm very happy to see the podcast starting and to be one of your first guests. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that way back at the end of October. So it's been a long time coming. But
well, yeah.
Been kind of our, kind of a guide. And we hope to one day have you on if, like, once we're in the real throes of it and we're at so many episodes. We'd like to bring you back once we're pros at it.
Now, you started a podcast. You're a pro. I said you're a pro, so there.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome.
I gotta get the ribbons and everything. So, if Tanya, again, if the listeners want to find you, they want to read about what you're doing, listen to your voice on other stuff, throw some cash at you, or just give you virtual high fives, what should they do?
So you can find me most places as Cypher of Tyr. That's CypherOfTyr. So I've got a site, cypherofteer.com. That's my gamer tag if you game, and that's my Twitch handle as well. I do have a PayPal for one-time donations, but I have a Patreon, which currently is keeping a roof over my head. So trying to get to that next goal of $17.50 where I could realistically not have to worry too much about having to find a job. But for right now, Patreon is keeping a roof over my head. So thank you to everyone who supports me there. And then I Need Verse Games has a Patreon, which goes to helping people go to conventions. We are sponsoring VectorCon, which is happening at the end of April. And, you know, we try to do our best to help people do work in the community. So our focus is to get marginalized devs as many places as we can help them get there.
Awesome. Great.
Very cool.
Thanks. That's great to hear. Steph, if people want to find you, where should they go?
They can find me at The Snow Queer on Tumblr. That's the like the Snow Queen, but with an R on the end.
Awesome. You can find me at Brother Dom pretty much anywhere where you'd want to find me, Twitter, Tumblr, etc. It's Brother, BROTHADOM, as in Dom. It's Brother on purpose. Didn't want to hit it with the hard R's. That's not always a great thing. and Steph and I both write at the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, which is ladygeekgirlandfriends.wordpress.com. We write about various issues in nerddom through a feminist and person of color lens, so check us out. We post daily. There's always new stuff, so if you want to read some opinions, it's a good place to go. So again, Tanya, we appreciate you having us on. Everyone will have a Twitter coming out and various links and show description. Again, we're starting out, so trying to get our feet wet, so we'll have all that to come. So again, thanks for joining us on Character Reveal. We hope to see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.